ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? It's Thursday, and it's not a throwback, because you don't want to call it a comeback. He's been here for years. Keenan McCardell joining me on a very special Thursday so that we can team up for 3 hours to give you the best in sports and more. Nick Shirara behind the glass. And boys, I'm looking forward to kicking some ass today, talking about a ton of stuff. We got Texans, we got Rockets with a big showdown tonight at the Tundra against OKC. We've got questions for you, the listener, so that you can chime in. I'm already fired up because I've had a full morning of Twitter idiots. So I'm ready to go. What about you?
I am ready to go because I think it's going to be on fire because you started the fire.
I did. I stirred it up today. That's fine. I don't care. I mean, the thing is people are going to troll you, but that's one thing. You can troll, listen, read, and learn. But when you decide to chime in like a doorbell, then you get the door shut in your face sometimes. That's just the way it goes. Nick, you going to the game tonight?
I am. Straight after the show, I'll head to the game.
You do remember what I did inform you of yesterday, which is I need you to be the more intellectually intelligent fan. I need you to stop doing what the local and national media are doing and billing this as Westbrook vs. Harden. And if you are truly a contending team, I want you to watch the supporting cast. I want you to watch their execution down the stretch. And I want you to tell me about their post offense and defense.
All fair requests.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Fair request, but you'll see them probably about 10 minutes the whole game because the ball will be in the two MVPs. Hands all day.
You guys see? Did you see Westbrook the other night? I'm surprised. I mean, no
I'm surprised he didn't get.
I was gonna say. I'm surprised he's playing tonight.
Yeah,
I
am
too.
The way
the league is. So I don't know if you missed this or not. They were playing the OKC was playing the Hornets the other night, and the whistle blows as Westbrook brings the ball over half court, and it's a timeout. And like a quarterback, he kind of winds up and he's gonna throw it to the underneath official under the basket, closest to his bench. And the official turned his head away and wasn't looking, and he drilled him in the dome piece.
You say like a quarterback. I say like Nolan Ryan. He bombed him when
I don't know. He didn't have that much velocity on it, but he did. I mean, he wound up. And then from the minute he let it go, he kind of had the inkling this was actually going to land. So he started apologizing profusely. He tried to say he didn't do it intentionally, and the referee just straight-faced as can be, going, sure, I'm giving you the tee. You're lucky I don't toss you.
I think the way he reacted afterwards helped him a little bit. Maybe that's why he didn't get suspended, because the way he threw it, he was kind of like, oh, God. If that was intentional, that's bad on his part.
I can only imagine a football player throwing it at a ref, at the head referee.
Yeah.
Oh, he's out.
He's out of the game. And everybody's really, you know, they're really extra careful now about contact with officials. But sometimes the NFL realizes when they're getting up and things like that, you can actually come into shoulder to shoulder. But
I mean, we can't touch the officials. You know, we flip the ball to them. Yeah. And, you know, you might hit them. You know, they might juggle it.
Right.
But the way he threw it, if we rare back and threw it like that, like we were Tom Brady, imitating Tom Brady. Oh, yeah, we'd be walking up the tunnel right away.
Man, I'm telling you what. So at least Westbrook's on the floor. Kurt Lowe's already chiming in, as he likes to call Westbrick in Oklahoma City. And I'm like, look, everybody should know this, and I hate to have to always reemphasize this, but some people out there are doubters. I want the Rockets to do well. I want the Texans to do well. I want the Astros to do well. I like seeing these teams do well because it helps what we do when we're trying to do shows. But I'm going to be honest with you at all times. I'm going to tell you like I see it, just like you do, just like Travis does, just like Barry does, just like Nick does. We're building this show to be, we're not going to be homers per se. We're going to give you the reality of honesty, which sometimes is hard to swallow for some people, especially Nick, when they've induced themselves full of red sugary liquid on a regular basis, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, we heard it kind of, but yeah, exactly right. If they've drank too much Kool-Aid, our chances of saving them before it's too late get to be slim and none. But at the same time, we're going to be honest. So we look at this game tonight between OKC and the Rockets, and I hate the billing that it is between the Westbrook and Harden. I understand it from a marketing standpoint. You're trying to sell tickets.
Right.
But if you truly are a contender, and I think that's fair of only one of the two teams, I think the Rockets right now at the three are definitely a team that, as it sits right now, and I told you, I'm not passing judgment on the playoffs till we get past the trade deadline and I know what the roster is going to be.
Right.
But from where they sit right now, the numbers don't lie. They're the three seed. But the last two times you've played Oklahoma City, you've peed away big leads. You lost one of those two games. Luckily, this year, I can't count on two hands already the games they lost, they should have won where they blew leads or they crapped the bed. But that's one game that sticks in my craw because I look at it and say, look, if in fact the Clippers get right, or it comes down to you in San Antonio, or, you know, God willing, you in Golden State for home court, and it's a one-game difference, you can look at that game and go, you had two double-digit leads, and down the stretch you couldn't score and you let it get away. I can't see that tonight. I need to see the supporting cast continue to play. That's what I'm looking at.
All right, Coach Joel. I understand that. You want him to close out games, you know, better than what he did last, better than the last two times. But they got to sell tickets.
I agree.
Two MVP candidates going head to head, former teammates. They've seen each other in practices day in and day out. Now they're the leaders of their new teams. Well, Westbrook's been there, but James is his new team now. And guess what? It's James Harden versus Russell Westbrook. Just like Ben Roethlisberger versus. You know, Tom Brady,
so whoever. Yeah,
that's the thing we're talking about.
But then this is the other thing, and I know this is going to just get under people's skin here, and I'm not saying it to be that guy. I'm not doing this to just, you know, I'm not like other stations. I'm not trying to do something to get under your skin, degenerate. I want legitimate talk, because if we're just having a discussion and we can understand each other's points, then it's great sports radio. But here's my problem. I understand it from a marketing perspective, right? I understand that's what you're going to do. Then get your ass in the seats. I'm tired of watching these games in person and on TV and saying, why are there 7,500 people dressed as empty seats?
I believe it's going to be a lot of people in the seats tonight.
Now, as Nick can verify for me, the Spurs game was the last really, really big game in this town. And it was a ghost town in terms of the fan support and where the fans were and how they were supporting this team.
Yeah, I mean, it was, considering the game, there was not as many people as I thought they'd be.
But I think you're looking at two MVP candidates, and the people want to see Russell Westbrook play James Harden. They're gonna match up on each other. That's what everybody wants to see, the one-on-one battle. Because I'm going to tell you, Russell Westbrook is coming into this game. It's like, James is not getting a triple-double on me. He's a defensive mindset. His defensive mindset is like, hey, man, this is me against you, and I'm not giving up a triple-double, and we're going to win this game.
Here's what I like, because the triple-double has become a criteria for the MVP this year, the way it sits right now.
Right.
People say if Westbrook averages a triple-double, he'll get it. Harden, who quietly just keeps getting triple-doubles, is playing a more level-headed game. And that's sometimes hard for me to say. But this year, and again, because I said from the start of the year he was going to be an MVP candidate, the maturity's showing. Because he's not losing his head, though he's staying with his team. Westbrook's going to get caught by, he got thrown out of a game the other night and didn't get an assist. That's going to come back to haunt him, because now that's going to hurt his season averages. That's where it starts messing with that, can you average a triple-double for a full season? And the fact that his team's not as good as the Rockets. What I want to know is, since we are never going to know the criteria, 2 years ago when I firmly believed James Harden had a better all-around season for what he did for his team than Steph Curry did, they said the Warriors won more than the Rockets, therefore that's why Steph got the extra votes, that's why Steph won. If that is truly the case, then this year when Harden's team is better than Oklahoma City, considering if you look at head-to-head why right. this game's important, and they continue to do what they do, James should have the advantage over Russell Westbrook, regardless of what these two guys end up averaging.
I'm with you with that one.
So there you go. So we'll see. Let us know what you think. We've got calls already lined up. We see Mike. We see Adrian. We see Alberto. Everybody wants to chime in, and we want to talk to you. Keenan McCardell and Joel Blank, along with Nick Sherrod, till 4. You can hit us up on Twitter. It's at Keenan McCardell, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at No Hit Nick, or do what everybody does. Get involved in the show by either texting, which is not one of our preferences, or by tweeting or by calling, where we can put you on the line and you can put a voice with a name and we can talk rationally. It's our HR&P listen line, 713-780-ESPN, where you can text and or you can call. We'll talk to you soon, because we're going to be here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel, Keenan, and Nick till 4 o'clock, and we were just kicking it around to the break, something we're going to throw out for you guys to make a little extra incentive to join the show today. John Gruden had a quote that I read this morning, and it made me go, as I scratched my temple, kicked it over with Keenan and Nick, and I decided to kick it off the tee and let you guys try and run it back. John Gruden said, there's no quarterback I fear more in the playoffs than Eli Manning.
That's why you didn't want it. Didn't want to agree.
I mean, look, I did a little research, right? He had the two Super Bowl runs.
Through Green Bay. Through Lambeau.
Both times. I'm not afraid to admit that, right? Because again, what do? We give honest opinions, regardless of who our biases are off the air. But here's the key. In his last five playoff appearances with the Giants, he's 0-5.
Okay.
All right? So you can look at both sides. But who would you answer that question with? Because there's so many good ones. There's Tom Brady. There's Ben Roethlisberger. There's the potential MVP this year in the NFC in Matt Ryan. There's a guy
Peyton
up.
Manning? I mean, you Peyton, got.
Peyton, no, I'm talking about this year.
This year? I'm going with Tom Brady.
I mean, it's hard to argue with a guy that has that kind of winning percentage and that success rate, right?
Right.
There's also a guy wearing green and gold up north that is on quite a roll. Ben Roethlisberger has proven that he knows what the hell he's doing.
Yes.
Yeah. Couple. Been there, done that, right?
Well, I'm going to tell you who needs to earn his nickname. Matty Ice.
I agree with that.
Matty Ice needs to earn his nickname in these playoffs.
About 3 years ago here in Houston, Atlanta played, and the Texans put pressure on him. And I've never seen a guy bail quicker with happier feet and start throwing unorthodox passes anywhere to save his butt. I've seen him get better, but you're absolutely right. This is a guy that has to step up on the big stage. You can prove a lot of naysayers wrong. You can validate a lot of people that think you should be MVP.
I was just about to say that because if he has a great playoff run, he wins the MVP.
He solidifies everything, right?
I have to say that, you know, even though I think Tom Brady should win it. But if he comes out and plays lights out like he's been playing during the season, he will win the MVP.
And there you go. That's in a nutshell, one of the questions I want to throw out today. I want to know, who's the quarterback you fear most in this year's playoffs? AFC, NFC, it doesn't matter, and no Brock Osweiler isn't even possibility at this point.
Yeah, we need to hear some callers call in about this. I mean, I know they got a couple people.
There's plenty out there with Brockitch that's going to want to talk about the fact that they got an itch and they want to scratch it. So, I mean, if you can throw out the dialogue all you want, and we can talk the Texans quarterback, but like Mac and I were talking about in our production meeting, bottom line is, it is what it is. You got who you got, and there ain't no changing it now. So, you go with the guy who is taking the dance floor for the first dance, and you take your chances. So nothing's going to change it at this point. So I don't know if it's worth arguing and discussing. You just got to argue the variables, because both teams are in the same situation. Argue the variables like we did yesterday. What are the other things that are going to be deciding factors in this game? I said whichever team doesn't turn the ball over or has the least amount of turnovers. And special teams, I think, are going to be a huge factor for both. Field position,
yes.
Field goals, if it's a close game, Janikowski versus Novak, huge. And again, the punters for field position, two really good punters, an up-and-comer in Marquette King, the longtime veteran that's proven he can do it in Leckler. Interesting there, because the defenses are both good. And the secondary, Texans number one rated, as you mentioned in our video that you could see on Twitter and Facebook. But here's the thing, Texans secondary beat up and depleted, right?
Right.
Raiders, just not that good. So we'll see who steps up, who makes big plays, and who avoids giving away big plays in a game like this, too. So we can talk about Texans. We can talk about Rockets. We can talk about anything you want. But I want to throw that question out at the start of the show. Quarterback in the playoffs you fear the most, because John Gruden said it was Eli Manning, and I definitely had to step back, and that was something that made me go,
Because he gets hot in the playoffs, and he could be playing the worst type of football during the year. And he just gets hot, and guess what? He goes on a roll. And I hate to tell you, you know, it's minus 14 in Green Bay right now.
You only got that because I told you.
It was zero because I talked to one of the coaches in Green Bay last night. It was 0 degrees in Green Bay last night. So, but if he gets hot, he's gonna melt all the snow in Lambeau Field. Something.
My sources,
and I know, my sources, you hate me saying
it.
That.
My sources, living it in Wisconsin, are telling me. Minus 14 wind chill today. Not going to be any better by the weekend. That normally says you also got to run the ball. Going to be interesting to see. The Giants have no running game at all.
Green Bay is right behind them.
they got a couple options. So we'll see. Offensive line becomes a big factor then.
Yes.
For sure. In that game. So if you want to talk about that game, we can talk about that game as well. But we got guys that want to chime in. Chad wants to chime in right off the top with quarterbacks that you fear in the playoffs. Chad, welcome to the show. Happy New Year. What's up?
Oh, not much. Yeah, I mean, I know that it probably isn't going to surprise anybody, but I mean, I think it's got to be Tom Brady. I mean, he's done it so many times. He's successful. He's been there before. He's got the experience and everything like that. So I think, you know, Tom Brady probably the most feared. But another thing, and it's, I want to see if you guys agree with that, but also, do you think, and like I said, I know the Brock thing and everything like that, but do you think that the fact that nobody is really taking the Texans seriously in the playoffs is almost an advantage for them? Like maybe teams, if they do get out of the first round against Oakland, like maybe teams come out a little bit underprepared and, maybe have a chance?
Chad, no, Chad. I mean, when this is about winning the Super Bowl, nobody's going to be taken lightly in these next three or four games, because they know that if they lose, they go home.
There you go. Chad, appreciate the call. Don't be a stranger. We appreciate you supporting us, and we will indeed likewise support you. Mike, you want to talk Texans? I know you've been waiting a while. What's up?
Yeah, I was just wondering, what do y'all think the team is going to look like next year? I know Hopkins, I think, is he's pretty much this is the end of his contract, I believe, and I don't know what the deal is with Clowney's contract, but just going to hang up and listen. I want to know what y'all think about what we're going to look like next year.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you can – with Hopkins – I think he's under contract for one more, and then you can franchise him after that for up to 2 years. The first year, you know, you just have to be within the top, was it the top five at the position?
Yep.
And then after that, it's the top five in the league, which means you're talking quarterback money. So you hope something's done one way or the other in the next 2 years, because you don't want to see that kind of money thrown around. But at the same time, you don't have to worry about him. Clowney's a situation.
I think you have to worry about him.
You want to wrap it up sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I think you should get that deal done. And then, you know, Clowney's having a really good year. And to say that you're getting J.J. back, a healthy J.J. Watt and Clowney, I mean, you're going to have a really dominant defensive line. So, you know, the big issue right now is, like everybody knows, is the quarterback position. You know, they spent a lot of money there. People want to know where they're going to be next year at that position, and it makes a lot of sense. And then you got to look at some of the things on the defensive side in the secondary. They're aging back there. Plus, they've had a lot of injuries back there. So,
age and injuries, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so I think that's an issue that I think they're going to look forward to, you know, to try to upgrade.
Trying to sort out.
Yeah, they're trying to upgrade back there, but just because of the aging and the injuries.
Okay, well, we got that to kick around as well. Big thing here, too. I mean, fact of the matter is that you got a game on Saturday in your backyard against a team that is definitely wounded, and you have the number one ranked defense. You've got to come to play and make a statement on that side of the ball. And there's a guy on the other side, on the offensive side of the ball for the Raiders, that not many people know about, and they're searching for tape from college. Guess who coached against them for the last couple of years? That'd be you.
Yep.
So Keenan McCardell will get into breaking down Connor Cook as well, because it's a guy he knows better than most, and that's something that you like while you tune in to ESPN 97.5.
Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
As my man Nick likes to say, faux show, because everything we do is faux the show, and we make sure that we let you know so that you can have a go and join the lines that make sure they don't just listen, they allow you to speak. Keenan's going to update Chad's last call, I believe it was. Want to also talk about the contract situation of Clowney, so we'll get that out of the way because we don't want to forget or leave a stone unturned on a topic that was brought to us by you, the fan, Keenan.
You know, Jadavion is coming off a Pro Bowl year, and he has one more year left on his contract. You know, he's a four-year deal, and he's getting paid a pretty nice sum on his four-year deal, but you know, you as a GM, you know, you want to get ahead of these problems that are going to come.
Potential headaches.
Yeah, the potential headaches. And you want to keep your players, especially the players you drafted, your number one picks.
So you think he's going to try and get both those done this offseason?
You know what? I think he should. Mm-hmm. I don't know what pecking order is going to be, but I think he should keep those. That's young talent. You drafted the talent. You've developed the talent. You don't want the talent to come
now, you
get
make
away.
Those contracts to start after they're – in Clowney's case, in both cases, actually, right, their rookie deals expire?
Yes. I mean,
because that helps them, because they're going to have to absorb Brock one way or another next year anyway. So they can't add too much if they're going to also want to use the money where they need to for next season. So that the good news is, at least when you're to the caller's point and what they're going to do financially, if they can make those contracts start after Brock goes away, conceivably, then you can save some money.
Yeah, and I think, I'm looking at D-Hop's deal. I think he has a team option. I think that's what it is, and it's for a nice piece of change. I mean, I think right at about $8 million, and for me, that's a bargain for him. I mean, if you get him for $8 million on a team option, it's really a bargain. But I think if he plays under that option, the next year he's totally unfree. I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent. He's gonna leave. I mean, I think you should make him happy. He's already held out, you know, a couple of days of practice and training camp. And, you know, by far, he's your best pass threat outside.
No doubt.
So
most experienced, too.
And you need to have him in the fold.
All right, let's take some more calls. You guys want to talk about Texans? You want to talk about our question, which you can chime in all through the show today. John Gruden said Eli Manning is the quarterback that he fears most in the playoffs this year. Who say you? Let's go right away to Alberto, who's been waiting the longest. You want to talk about the Texans? What's up?
It's Roberto, not Alberto.
Okay, that's our intern.
Roberto.
Yeah, it's our intern's fault. We apologize. What's up?
Tony Dungy, you see what he predicted in the Raider game?
I did not. Oh, 2-0?
2-0 Raiders.
I thought, 2-0. Yeah, I heard that. It depends on
baseball score, huh?
Yeah, it depends on who's pitching in relief. If they got whoever's closer does better could decide this one.
And y'all guys are just, y'all saying y'all trying to make Houston better. Houston's a city of losers. The Rockets have won 2 championships, the Astros 0, the Oilers and Texans 0. This guy that answered the phone said, well, the Dynamo won a couple. That's not no real sport. That's a little girl sport. Unbelievable. And one other thing, Kevin McHale, if he would have won in Houston, his daughter wouldn't have croaked probably. He's a loser. So he never has been.
Well, Roberto, that's
he needs to go.
Yeah, exactly. Roberto called yesterday and he wanted to chime in and he wanted to bust on Tillman for Tita, and then because we
is that the same Roberto?
Guy, yeah, and so you know what?
We're gonna call our guy in Galveston to go get Roberto
when he wins. when he wins cab driver of the month and then cab driver of the year, and then he can start piling some awards. Then
his license are revoked in Galveston.
Then he can actually start bragging. But when you start bringing up topics like that, especially involving one of my friends.
Completely inappropriate,
yeah,
dude.
Not only inappropriate, but Roberto, you are Alberto. Don't be an Alberto, okay? Albie, don't bother calling back because we're going to do a better job with our screeners. And they got it right the first time because you were inappropriate yesterday. You're now banned. So, goodbye.
Why are we wasting our time on Alberto?
Let's move to someone that we know we can trust. Clarence, waiting in the wings. Clarence, you want to talk Texans? What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Clarence, I know it's happy hour somewhere, but please tell me it hasn't been that way for you yet.
Oh, no. I'm on the road to New Orleans right now. No drinking.
Okay, good. Drive safely. What's on your mind?
First, I had to agree with John Gruden. I mean, Eli Manning, once he gets hot,
really?
I mean, those Manning brothers, man, they know what they're doing once they get hot. And
is that because his dad played in New Orleans? You're jumping on the Manning wagon right now?
No. I mean, it's proven fact. Once he gets going, he really gets going. Yeah, we know they don't have a running game, but technically, you kind of don't need it against the Packers. Sorry, Joel. I mean.
I kind of like where he's starting out in Green Bay, so he's going to get hot.
You combine, and again, you try this every week. Clarence, you combine Peyton and Eli because of the same last name, and I can't put them in the same category. I mean, Peyton was greatness personified and at the top of his game for more than a decade. Eli, yes, you can say he's won 2 Super Bowls, but we've had the debate on this show whether he's even good enough to be considered Hall of Fame. So tough to compare the two of them. And like I said, you give him credit for the two runs where he won Super Bowls, but in the 5 years they made the playoffs where they didn't make that run, they didn't even win a game.
That is true. But if he gets to this championship, you probably just had to throw him in the Hall of Fame. But the second reason I call is I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
All right. Let's just consider next season for the Texans. Everyone's healthy on defense.
Mm-hmm.
You got a good running game. And we all know that they're just one quarterback away from potentially making a Super Bowl. Now, we see what we have with all three quarterbacks on the Texans right now. Who, coming out the draft, I know you're not going to get Deshaun Watson and probably not Gerard Evans out of Virginia Tech. And who you see coming out the draft or what free agent you guys could see who will be a game manager who will help this team get over that hump?
He said the evil words. Thanks, Clarence. We appreciate it.
Game manager.
He said the game manager. We hate those terms now in professional sports and football because, it's not a good term anymore. But who would game manage the best for the Texans? First of all, Mac, you know the college scene too. The kid from Miami came out way too quick, too soon, and is not ready. And even though everybody was projecting him to be a high pick. Yep, Kaya. Deshaun Watson to me, first of all, my point was going to be whoever you take is not going to be your game manager for next year.
Right.
You need to look at free agents and veterans and guys that could possibly do that because I don't think any rookie is going to come in and be your guy next year.
The person that I like the most, and you're not going to like it, but because you've already called him out once or twice.
Are you saying this to me directly?
Yes.
Why do you always come at me? That's fine. I guess that makes better radio. That's fine. Go ahead. All right.
I would say if you could get Jay Cutler, Cutler in here.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you did set that one up right. Yeah, you were accurate there.
Yeah. And because
the key's the price tag with him.
Price tag on what? What has he done?
But doesn't matter. You know, his agent, and he's going to say because of the fact that he's been in the league this long, regardless of what he's done, they're going to say, now, if he settles and says, look, I got to prove myself, if he has to demo it, if he's got to prove himself all over for 1 year, and he takes a bargain, when he knows he's competing for a starting job on a team that can win, I love it.
Yeah, but the only thing about that situation, that situation is that you're going to have to give up Tom Savage.
I was going to say the other guy that I would answer that question with is Tom Savage, because if he can just be a game manager, then he keeps you in games instead of takes you out of them with turnovers, then he could be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think they need a veteran. I don't think they need a rookie. I think they need a veteran. And I think he fits the mold for me.
All right, let's see what you guys think. Let's go to Ben. You've been holding the longest. Ben, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, thank y'all. I gotta agree with John Gruden a little bit on Eli, just because the 2 years that he did go to the Super Bowl, both of those, when they started the playoffs, they were number five or number six seed.
True.
The years that he lost, they were a higher seed. And it just seems like if he can get over Green Bay's defense this weekend, I think he's got Dallas's number.
Ben, where did he win his two championships through?
See, and here's the thing. I would have brought this up, Ben, even if the Giants were playing the Seahawks or the Falcons or whatever. So I didn't bring the question up because they're playing Green Bay this week. I brought it up because to me, there's too many other good choices for me to take Eli Manning. There's Brady, Rodgers, and Roethlisberger, and any of those three, I would say, I would take right away without even taking a second guess of it before I took Eli.
Okay, another part of the question. If you didn't have those top three, who would you take? Brady, Rodgers, Roethlisberger.
They're out?
They're out.
Everybody else is in.
Everybody else is in. Who do you take?
I'm going to shock you a little bit. And maybe I won't because of the fact that he went to a fine institution of higher learning.
So who's your guy?
I'd take Russell Wilson because he's a proven winner, because he can run as well as pass, because he can game manage when he has to. And
I'm going to surprise you with my pick.
Go ahead.
I'm taking Dak.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so there's even a better question. So now not only answer who's the quarterback you fear the most in the playoffs, then as a follow-up question, why don't you tell us if you took Rodgers, Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady out of the equation, who would you take then? I say Russell Wilson. He says Dak Prescott. How about them apples? We got a lot of people that can chime in on that one. We've got more to hear from in terms of our phone lines. They're filling up and a full board is getting close. We see you, Ben, JJ, David, and Ken. We're going to get to you in just a minute. I want to tell you right now about Gallery Furniture. The holidays are over, but guess what? Now's the perfect time to take care of you. You took care of your relatives and your friends and your family when you were getting ready for the holidays, and now you got through them. And what you really want is to make sure that you have the best furniture, starting with your bedroom set, that makes you comfortable, that gets you a good night's sleep, so that you're fresh and ready to go every day, day in, day out, for the 2017 year, which you're going to make the best ever. Want to know how to do that? Head over to Gallery Furniture. Macapedic mattresses start at $19.99, and you get an $800 Gallery gift card right off the top. So already you're saving money, because Mac always guarantees it. And also in saving money, you're sleeping better. Mac Stress is always American-made solid wood furniture, two-for-one recliners, those Macapedic sleep sets. How about a dining room set? All that solid wood furniture, it's all available right now at Gallery Furniture. You buy today, you get it tonight. I'm telling you from experience, because if you go through my house from living room to dining room to bedroom to the man cave and every room in between, it's all Gallery Furniture. Why? Because it's service after the sale. If anything ever goes wrong, you call Mac and the Gallery staff. They take care of you. Why? Because if you get it today and you want it today, you get it tonight. You buy today, you get it tonight. They always deliver that way. There's no back order slips, no waiting around. And because of convenience, they have three locations. They have Post Oak right there off of Westheimer. They have Grand Parkway and 99 for the Katy Sugarland crowd. And they have the standby location that always features Mattress Mac himself sitting at the front door waiting to greet you and take care of your needs. That's I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker. Back order slips do not occur at Gallery Furniture, because Gallery really will save you money.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Keenan McCardell, and a steady dose of Nick Sharara behind the glass as we continue to roll till four and kick some ass. And by the way, I just want to make a side note. We love you guys here. We love you listening, and we appreciate you participating in the show. Anybody ever pulls an Alberto, you're not only going to be banned from our show, you're going to be banned from the station. We're going to make damn sure of it. Because if your sorry ass and your rough life is in that much of a shambles that you feel that you're going to take shots at someone that not only is a friend, but a friend of the show and their family and someone that they lost, man, you need to look in the mirror real hard and probably seek some professional help. Because I don't care what your profession is, what you got going on between your ears, brother, is a whole firestorm of BS that needs some serious attention. So if I'm Tillman Fertitta, I wouldn't shake your hand. I wouldn't take a picture with you. And I damn well wouldn't ride your cab, period. How about that? So, Alberto, have yourself a rotten-ass day, and hopefully you frickin' stumble upon some kind of bad luck. All right, let's keep rolling along on the show. We've got you guys chiming in. Mac makes a great sub-question to the question of the day, Nick. He says, who is the quarterback that you know, John Gruden said there's no QB I fear more than Eli Manning come playoff time. Does that include the fact that your receivers are in Miami doing photo shoots? It doesn't matter. You tell me who's the quarterback you fear, and then as a sub-question, if you couldn't choose Brady, Rodgers, or Roethlisberger, who then would you choose? Mac says Dak. I say Russell Wilson. Nick, who says you?
I don't know. I was going to throw Matt. I thought he was going to say Matthew Stafford.
Nope. No.
I thought for sure he was going to say Matthew Stafford. I don't fear him, but I think
even with the itchy trigger finger in the middle.
You know why? You know why I like Dak? Dak is cool, calm, under pressure. Everybody's talking about, well, he can't win games, but he leads the team down the field when they need it. He has the supporting cast.
True. First of all, start with the offensive line.
And then
when you turn around and you hand the ball to 21, you're in pretty good shape.
I mean, so right now, you know, I kind of fear, I should say I fear the Cowboys, because they are playing really good football. And on that side of the ball, it's going to be tough for teams to stop them. And if they're controlling the clock in the playoffs, it's going to be trouble.
Yeah, but again, to our point on Matt Ryan, and not as pressing, I will say this. But he still has to prove himself, because everybody's going to say rookie, playoffs, different scenario, whole new ballgame, whole new world, as you know. He could shut a whole bunch of people up in a hurry, too. And again, he's just starting his career. So he should have many more opportunities in order to perform on this stage, unlike Matt Ryan, who's had opportunities and failed. But it's interesting, two different ends of the spectrum, but yet same scenario, as you want to see them be able to solidify themselves or fade a little bit, because again, Eli's the reverse. Eli doesn't always play the best in the regular season, but a lot of times in the postseason, he's played well.
I think also because he has nothing to fear. He's never been there, so he's just going to go out and play. He's nothing to lose.
That's what I was just going to say. He's never felt what it feels like to mess up in the playoffs. So he doesn't have to worry about that pressure.
I'm just going
to
go play. You know, and I think that's what he's done all year. He's just went out and played and had fun. I mean, and that's the name of the game, is to go out and have fun and lead your team. So that's why I picked that.
There you go. All right. So what say you? Desmond, you're next up. You want to talk about the Texans quarterback situation. What's up?
Oh, yes, sir. I think we should draft a quarterback early next year in the first two rounds and not pick one up in free agency, whether it's a vet like Jay Cutler or just Tony Romo, because of the cap issues we might have in the future regarding somebody like Javion Clowney. I also feel like the most feared quarterback in the league in the playoffs to me is Ben Roethlisberger. The reason why he didn't have success in the past few playoff games was the pathetic defense they had, the mediocre defenses that they had over the past few games. I think they gave up like 300 and some passing yards to Tim Tebow one year. So I think he's the most fearful quarterback out of everybody.
I'll tell you what, he can take a hit. He stays upright. He makes big plays. But, Desmond, as a follow-up real quick, if you can't take Ben, Aaron, or Tom, who do you take?
Tony Romo. Even though he's not playing.
Wow, very interesting.
Game. Really?
I think if he plays, he can win the Super Bowl. It's the reason why a rookie quarterback never wins a Super Bowl.
Desmond,
you give somebody like the Patriots 2 weeks to prepare for somebody like Dak Prescott, he's going to be confused.
That
run game won't carry him all the way through.
I'm just not a Tony Romo, Desmond. I mean, I've seen him in the playoffs before, man. He's giving it up.
Desmond, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks.
Very, very interesting take. I would say
Desmond must have a crystal ball to say Tony Romo is going to be in the game.
How about this? Desmond's got two crystal balls, and they're huge for saying that on the air. How about Tony Romo? That's what I think. How about that? Hey, JJ, how you feeling? How's your back? And what's going on? You haven't chimed in a while, my man.
Hey, can you guys hear me all right?
I can hear me on your radio and you.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me put you on just the phone there, because I can't wait to talk to you. Hold on.
Excellent. Great to have you back on the show, my man.
Now, how's that?
Excellent. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hey, guys, let me tell you something. I got a comment I want to make and then a question for you and Keenan, okay?
You go. You got it.
And I haven't called in a while because I've been out traveling over the holidays. But, Joel, you know I love your show, man, and something you say all the time. You guys are black and white. You bring it. You don't play the homie, and that's why I love your show, and I listen to it every
single day. Hey, JJ, we don't have a camera in here, but the fact that you knew that we were black and white is an impressive observation on your part as well. But we appreciate the love, as always. We keep tabs on you. We didn't know where you went. Just like Scott in Deer Park, we know who our listeners are. We got to make sure you guys are okay.
Hey, I've seen Keenan play all his games, man. I know what's going on down there. But I got two things, a comment and then a question.
Go for it.
The comment is this. I don't know if you guys ever watch Inside the NFL. I'm assuming you might because it's such a good show.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But Brandon Marshall was on the other day, and he was talking about O'Brien getting fired. He was talking about how hard it is to win a playoff game. And he said, I've been in the league 11 years, and I've never played in a playoff game. And what I want to say to the Texans fans out there is everything y'all discuss is real. The Texans have a lot of issues. But, Keenan, you know this. Just making the playoffs, there's a lot of teams – and a lot of cities who don't get a home playoff game.
No doubt.
So let's at least enjoy the fact that we're not in Cleveland, that the team's in the playoffs, they get their shot, and address the issues, and we'll learn something about this team on Saturday, and I'll be at the game, and then we'll learn something about the franchise next year.
JJ, it's an interesting point, and hang on to that, because we're going to let you get that point, but I want to just address that. Keenan and Travis, we had heated discussions about that very fact.
Being mediocre and just barely getting in the playoffs.
And how important it is from the player's perspective of K-Mac and Trapp to say, you have no idea what it means to not have a chance to at least compete for a title. And in order to be, you can't win it unless you're in it. And they really stressed that hard. So it's a great point, and it's a phenomenal take, JJ. And it's an interesting follow-up to Texans fans to say, why don't we worry about next year,
and we're about Saturday.
That's
year
what I keep
Saturday.
Saying. Everybody wants to bitch about Brock, but the bottom line is it ain't changing, and he ain't going away.
He's in the playoffs. He's a playoff quarterback.
He is who he is, and you're dealing with it, so let's go. All right.
I appreciate that because, you know, like I said, how many teams have got an NFL home playoff game this weekend or next weekend? And everybody doesn't have Aaron, Ben, and Tom on their team. And if we had one of those guys, it might be a whole different ball game. But here's my take on the quarterback thing, and I'm 2 points. One, Keenan, I agree with you on Brady about MVP, and I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but I respect him. I just don't like the Patriots, and there's a lot of reasons why. 28-2 touchdown to interception ratio, played 12 games. My question to Keenan is, you follow the league really close, especially at the wide receiver position. Who has Brady ever had on his team that's all pro and Hall of Fame? Randy Moss, Gronk's out. I mean, how many guys can do what Brady does with that receiving core? I mean, they picked up Floyd, which is a big pickup, but it's not like he's thrown to Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree,
right,
or Jordy Nelson. That guy does it every year with what I consider average receivers, and I was wondering what Keenan's take on that. Great. And before you answer, I wanted to say that my pick after that, I'm going with Russell Wilson. I'm not a Seahawk fan, but man, if you Russell Wilson in the playoffs is a different quarterback, and that guy's accurate, can run, so if the Seahawks with that defense, if Russell's got his game going, that's who I would fear. So
JJ, not like you didn't know this already, but I like where your head's at.
JJ, you just put a smile on his face. He's throwing his hands up in the air because you picked Russell Wilson.
He's from a whole pack of Badgers, baby.
Hey, Keenan, let me ask you a question. How many playoffs has Matt Ryan won?
Zero.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I do believe Dak's going to do a good job. I don't think Romo's going to be playing. But at the end of the day, if you talk to, you took those three guys out. So with those three guys out, who's been there, done that, and capable? Russell. All right, I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thanks, JJ. Be safe. Happy New Year. And don't be a stranger. We appreciate you. We appreciate you, the listener, as well. 713-780-ESPN. You can chime in on this subject. But don't, just fair warning. You can say what you think,
and then we're going to
ask. We can drill you a little bit more, drill down, and ask you a couple questions too, like we did JJ. Because if you're friendly and you are participatory and you treat it as a discussion, not an argument, you're going to have a seat at the table or a chair in the living room. How about that, Mac? Ken, you're waiting. You're up next. We're going to get to you on NFL MVP, and we can get that conversation rolling as well. But you know what? We're going to do this whole thing till 4 like we do every day. Can't do it without you. We appreciate your love and support. That's why we do what we do, and we enjoy it. We're ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.